And it's chapter 11. Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. And really, it's continuing the story about the fig tree. And we're going to start at verse 20. Mark 11, verse 20. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it'll be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it'll be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." The Lord add a blessing to his words.
If I didn't give you a personal, world-touching greeting this morning, please forgive me. I was busy with other things, but I still welcome you like I did the Sundays before this one. But before we do that, can we come before the Lord on this Remembrance Sunday and say this remembrance prayer? Let's pray together. Dear God, before whom generations rise and fall, have mercy on human foolishness and failure. When greed, fear, and jealousy prevail over love and understanding, forgive those sins that lead to war. Almighty God, today we remember. We remember the courage of men and women who resisted evil and stood for justice. We remember those who stand today, and we ask you to watch over them. Help us to value the freedom won for us. Help us to use it wisely and gratefully, and pass it on to the generations to come as a legacy of peace and hope. In the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen. I want to be a little rebel this morning in this remembrance service. And it's not showing off, but I want to say, I'm proud to have two heroes in my life. One, the first one is Jesus Christ. I always pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the number one hero that I remember for what he has done. And number two hero is my daughter. She has been to Afghanistan in the war front. And I tell you, those days we used to live in a lot of loads of nightmares. But finally, when she came home, we celebrated. So when people talk about heroes, I know what it means. The feeling. I had those feelings some other time. But today, in our Remembrance Sunday, we've got this service that we will remember forever, because we are talking about this withered fig tree which Jesus cursed. So today we go back to that story again. We heard some other few weeks ago when Jesus went to that tree to look for a fruit and there was nothing. In other words, he was actually saying the Jews were spiritually empty, as he was referring to the fig tree. As my theme today says, do you mind to have, thank you. That is my theme. Do not chop the bridge. Someone might say, we don't chop bridges. But you remember, when they started making bridges, they used to use wood. So that's why I thought, chopping the original bridge, which was made of wood, you would need something to chop wood, isn't it? But now we use cement to make bridges. But that theme, as we go along, put things together as I speak and see why I brought that theme. In our reading today, it's talking about faith, prayer, and forgiveness. I want to send her on two things. I will send her on faith and forgiveness. Most of the time, Christians make a mistake when it comes to these two things. So I want today to bring them together. Hence I said, don't chop the bridge. Because if you remove one of them and remain with one, you've actually chopped the bridge. Okay? So, on faith, not you, daughter, the faith that we find in the Bible, sometimes we find it difficult to explain what faith means. Tony, may I have the next PowerPoint, please? Thank you. I'm speaking about faith and forgiveness. And then the next thing will be right. We are back on it. Faith, it says, according to the dictionary that I looked at, faith is a complete trust or confidence in someone or something. But as believers, we go to Hebrews 11 verse 1, which tells us, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. That is according to us believers. I'm going to speak about faith to start with. But as we go on, I will speak more about something I said is called a catalyst. Today we're going to be going back to school. A catalyst. A catalyst is a person or a thing that facilitate change. Those who are of a scientific mind, they will have another definition for a catalyst. But today I want you to know that a catalyst is a person or a thing that helps or facilitate change. But it is not change itself. It remains what it was before. Amen. So if a catalyst is in between two things, it remains what it was before. So faith is aided by a catalyst called prayer. So you have prayer, faith, forgiveness. What is the answer? The answer, you get the results from what God is doing and giving you. But if you subtract faith, prayer, and have faith and forgiveness only, the response is no answer. Okay? So as we go along, prayer works when there is no doubt. Amen? But if you've got doubt, prayer doesn't work. James 1 verse 6 says this, but when he asks, he must believe that and not in doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of sea, blown and tossed by the wind. In Mark 11 that we've read this morning, verses 22 to 26, Jesus is talking about prayer filled with faith. Not just prayer, but your prayer has got to be filled with faith. I want each one of us this morning to think of a prayer you have said before. I don't want those genuine prayers you were actually praying without any doubt. But I'm talking about prayers that you had a solution at the end. You had an answer already for yourself. Like, I'm just praying this. Is this really going to happen? If we are honest with one another, we have gone through these moments when you are praying and you've got a little doubt in yourself. Yes? I do not want you to tell me about these things. But in your own sitting on there, think of a prayer that you have said before. And you had already a solution at the end. This is what I'm talking about. Also, I want you to go back to what Jesus was saying in that text. Let's go back together to that text. In the morning, as they were walking along, they saw a fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Verse 23, have faith in God, Jesus answered. Have faith in Jesus, Jesus answered. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in her heart, but believes that what he says will happen. It will be done for him. I want to tell you, it is not about the real mountain that we look at, saying, well, there's a mountain there, or you might say, have a prayer. God, I want this London Baptist Church to move from here to go to London Center. The mountain is in you. Sometimes when we pray, the mountain is you, because you've already given God the solution before you even finished your prayer. As you are praying, you already have got an answer. That is the mountain. The mountain is in you. The mountain is you. Your thoughts are the ones that prohibit God to do what he wants to do. This is why I said earlier on, do not chop the bridge. As I've already told you, prayer, faith, and forgiveness work together. Amen? Once you remove one of them, as I will explain, according to what Jesus said in this text, it doesn't work. The Prince of Peace has said here in verse 22, if you have faith in God, even if you say to this mountain, remove that mountain that is blocking your prayer. What is that mountain? The mountain is you are chopping the bridge before you cross the river. How are you doing that? You are praying without faith. You are praying without faith. You are praying without forgiveness. Amen? So that is chopping the bridge. You must have prayer mind. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you. That's one thing. When the Holy Spirit is leading you, do you have faith God is going to do what you're asking for? Yes. If you've got faith, but before you do that, is there something lingering in your mind? Are there little Marys and Jacobs that you are thinking about who have wronged you in the past, and you are still holding a little grudge with them? And on here you want to pray. This is what Jesus is talking about here. This is what he's saying here. You are asking God to do something, but there is Mary who is still holding your mind. He's occupying part of your life. You can't let go. So you need to let go. You need to let go. I want to tell you a story of the Israelites in Exodus chapter 14. When they go to the sea, they had Moses who was their leader. They actually came out of Egypt with Moses. Moses was always speaking to God. God was giving him directions. The Israelites, when they got to the sea, they started blaming Moses. You think we couldn't die in Egypt? Why did you bring us out of Egypt? But if you read that text, in the first thing, the Israelites, they did the right thing. If I was giving marks, I was going to give them marks on there. The first thing is, they cried to God. Amen? So on there, I can give them marks. But as their story went on, I could mark them X. X. They were now crying to Moses and blaming him. They were chopping the bridge before crossing it. If they had, as they had gone to God at the first place, why then were they now cursing Moses? They brought their problem to God. They should have left it there. But they started cursing Moses. They chopped the bridge before crossing. Because they were saying to Moses, you should have left us in Egypt. We could have died there. That is the mistake they did. They chopped the bridge. All they were supposed to do is just take your problem to God and leave it there. Why did they lose faith in God? I don't know. But we also sometimes do it. We lose faith when we are praying. When we call to God, that is prayer. Leave it there. Didn't Jesus say, if you are heavy, if you have got a heavy burden, bring it to me and take mine which is lighter. This is what he meant. But sometimes we bring our heavy loads to Jesus, to the cross. When we try to offload it, the moment we leave, we carry our heavy loads with us again. So how do you think God can give you an answer? I'm reminded of Paul when he was in prison in the book of Acts chapter 16. You remember he prayed all night. And other believers were praying as well. And the jail opened for them and they walked free. There was a mountain in front of them, but they prayed with faith and the jail was open. What about Elijah at Mount Carmel? You remember when he went there and they were sacrificing and nothing was happening. And he went there. He reconstructed the altar. He poured water around it and he prayed to his God. There was a mountain in front of him. He prayed to his God. What happened? Fire came from heaven, consumed the altar, the stones, even the water. If you take it to God in faith, that mountain will be moved. Listen, I said, as we were going through this, I said, when you have got prayer, when you have got faith, when you have got forgiveness, those three work as a tandem. If you take one or two and leave the other, no results. So, in prayer, it talks about the number of times you must forgive someone. If my Bible is right, it says 70 times 7. If my calculation is okay, I got 490. But if my calculation is wrong, please come and see me after the service. According to Matthew 18, verse 21, it talks about how many times you must forgive someone. Someone might say, Gilson, you've preached about forgiveness before. Yes, I have. But I'm emphasizing because of what Christ said. I've also discovered after reading this text that these work together. Hence, I wanted to repeat this forgiveness and the faith preaching. So, God pardons you. You repent. After repenting, you forgive others. So, you see, prayer, faith, and forgiveness. So, here, God pardons. You repent. You forgive others. So, then you can have power to go and ask in prayer. Because you've already done what you are supposed to be doing. Here is the crunch of the whole story. Most of the time when we pray, there are doubts in us. Why are we doubting? What is the problem? What's causing the doubting? If our lives have been changed, Paul says in Romans 12, verse 1, we are to live lives that are pleasing to God. We all make mistakes. Do we ask the Holy Spirit to lead us to where to go and ask for forgiveness so that we can be those people that God wants us to be? We are supposed to be people who live lives that are pleasing to God. Lives that are pleasing to God is to do what God has done for you. If God forgives your sins, why can't you forgive someone else? If God has forgiven you, we pray that in the Lord's Prayer. When we do the Lord's Prayer, it's not a Christmas rhyme or a just ordinary song or a chorus that we sing. What we say in the Lord's Prayer must stick in our hearts. Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sins against us. When we say the Lord's Prayer, we must do what He says, not just saying for the sake of saying. The sinning that I'm talking about today is about not forgiving others. You might say, I'm not a murderer. I'm not a robber. I'm not a prostitute. All those other sins that you might talk. What about if you're not forgiving, if you're not a forgiving person? Are you not sinning? I ask. I'm not asking for answers, but I leave that question with you. Unforgiving person is the same as a murderer. Amen. Because if you are not unforgiving, if you ask anything in your prayer, according to what Jesus said in this text, you won't be heard. Someone might say, Gilson is telling fibs here. Let's go back to our text. Jesus goes on to say, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have already received it. That's a good thing. Most of the time, preachers, we quickly rush on this one. Without reading the whole context of the text. Believe that whatever you're asking for, you've already received it. But go further and hear what Jesus say. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Put that whole text together, what Jesus was telling here. It started with the withered fig tree And Peter saying, look, Lord, the fig tree that you cursed yesterday is dried up. The whole idea in that text was to tell Peter and those around, and us as well today, we're being told from that context of that text. The drying of the withering of the fig tree is telling us that when we pray and ask for something, we've got to do these three things. We must have faith. As we stand there praying, forgive whoever is has sinned against us. Those three work together. They work as a tandem. Amen. So once you have one without the other two, it's not me who wrote this. Jesus spoke about it. As you stand there praying, believe that what you are asking for will be given to you. But remember to forgive those who have sinned against you so that your Father in heaven can forgive you too. That's why I said, don't chop the bridge. Because once you start praying, when there's a little Mary or little James who is lingering in your mind, you are chopping the bridge. That is the mountain that is in your prayer. Before even God attempts to answer your prayer, remove that mountain that is in front of you. Why are you calling to God when you've got a mountain that is blocking your prayer? Ask for God who forgives to forgive. When God has forgiven you, forgive others as well. Then pray. Ask for God what you want to ask. I don't know what you want to ask. Whatever it is, are you having faith? Are you having forgiveness? As you stand there praying. I'm advising you this morning that Jesus is saying these three move together. Have faith as you pray and learn to forgive because your Father has forgiven you. Don't let those mountains block your prayer. It's not the physical mountain that we think of or which is being mentioned here. The mountain comes within you because it's you who blocks your prayer because of what is in your mind. When you come to Jesus, when you come to God in prayer, you must always be centered on that. How many of us are here this morning? Their minds are wondering, maybe they're already in Wonderland or in Disneyland, or they're thinking of the next holiday. We are here to worship God this morning. Amen? So when you go to God to ask for something, you must have a clear mind. When you go to pray, don't be preoccupied by other things. But think of, what am I here for? I am praying to a living God. James 2 verse 13 says this, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. This is so important about forgiveness. If you are not forgiving, judgment and mercy will not be shown to anyone who is not merciful. I know it hurts, but these are facts of life. If you are not forgiving, why then stand to pray when there's a mountain in front of you? You might as well forget to do any one of those, because they work together. Prayer, faith, and forgiveness. You combine these together, you see the results coming. So as we stand praying, or when we are in that little room of yours on your own, first, before you go to God, ask the Holy Spirit to lead you. Which are my shortcomings, Lord? Holy Spirit, help me, lead me, so that you can be forgiven to help your prayer as you pray to God. I started by saying, do not chop the bridge. If your formula is like the one under here, I ask you to repent this morning. Your formula must be prayer, faith, forgiveness, and answers from God will come. These three work hand in hand. Thank you, Lord Jesus, this morning for showing us the way. Because sometimes we've made mistakes thinking, I'm going to pray, but there's someone who is still in my mind, occupying my mind. We want to thank the Lord Jesus that he taught us. Prayer, forgiveness, work hand in hand. It is us who put mountains in front of us before our prayers. But this morning, I want to say, have faith in God as mentioned in Hebrews 11 verse 1. Forgive as mentioned in Matthew 18 verse 22. And pray as in Matthew 6 verse 15. Surely God will hear your prayer and he will give you results. If you have done these three, I'll ask the Lord to bless you and hear your prayers. Let's pray together. Glory be to you, our Father, because you are our God. Father, we want to thank you at this remembrance service that has reminded us about how to combine prayer, faith, and forgiveness. Father, sometimes we had made these mistakes by praying and forgetting to forgive others. Sometimes we have combined prayer and faith without forgiveness, not knowing that we are sinning against you, a holy God. Father, as you forgive our sins, give us the power to forgive others as well. Father, we don't want to chop the bridge before we get to the end. We want results when we pray. When we pray for those friends of ours who are not well, Lord, teach us that we must forgive first before we ask from you. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that you have taught us to remove the mountains in front of our prayers. It's not the physical mountains that block our prayers, but it's what we do. Heavenly Father, you are holy. Help us to be holy. Thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.